that I'll give that person eternal life at that time in their life. And I'm glad that I believe that, and I'm glad you believe that, that there is a specific, specified, designated time that God gives eternal life to every one of his people. Some may be infants when God gives them eternal life. They may be an infant in the mother's womb when God conveys that life to them. As Jeremiah, you remember? God spoke to Jeremiah and he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." What does that mean? I sanctified thee. What is sanctification? Who sanctified him? God did. When did he do it? Before he came forth out of the womb. When he was an infant in the womb, God sanctified him, set him apart, give him life. That's when he had eternal life. God also ordained him a prophet unto the nations. So he had eternal life before he came forth out of his mother's womb. And if Jeremiah had eternal life, then there's bound to be others that had eternal life before that they came out of the womb. I can tell you that John the Baptist had eternal life before he came forth out of the womb. Because we read when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary that she was to bear the Christ child, John leaped for joy. He is filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if he is filled with the Holy Ghost, he must have already been given eternal life before that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He must have already had an experience that God gave him eternal life before that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. But he leaped for joy. When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that she was the mother of the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist leaped, and he leaped for joy. Extraordinary experience in the life of that man. But he was a special man. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and it was prophesied that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born into this world. So Jesus is the giver of eternal life. Eternal life to all that was given to him before the world began. Others are given eternal life later in life. But whenever it is, God does that work irresistibly. God does that work sovereignly, and God does that work without asking the sinner if you want me to do it. He doesn't come and say, "Now, sinner, can I do it? Sinner, will you let me do it? Sinner, please let me do it. Sinner, I've given you the opportunity. Can I come in?" You've seen the picture of Jesus knocking on the door and the knobs on the inside, indicating that the sinner must let him in. I'm going to tell you that when Jesus comes at the sinner's door, he comes right on in, takes up his abode, makes a dramatic change in his life or her life, gives eternal life, raises that person from dead in sin, raises him out of death, out of darkness, from darkness itself, and therefore there is life that is communicated by Jesus. He gives eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. It's not an offer. It's not upon the cooperation of the sinner, but it's the gift of God. After that the person has eternal life, then that child of God has been qualified to do that which God has commanded of him to do, and to walk in obedience to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the sinner that is dead in sin has no capability, no power, no potency to do anything that is spiritual until spiritual life has been communicated to him, and therefore he has eternal life. So in this prayer, we find that as many as God gave unto him, he gives unto them eternal life. And he goes on in this prayer. He prays for his apostles. He prays for those that God gave him, those special men that he educated himself, that he taught himself while he was here in this world. those men that were special that God gave unto him. He says, I have kept them, and none of them is lost, which is the son of perdition, which was Judas Iscariot. He was lost. He was the son of perdition. He says, I've lost none of them. I've lost none of them save the son of perdition. I have given them thy word. He gave them the word. He communicated unto them everything that he wanted them to communicate when he would send them out into the world. I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in this world. That there was a protection over them, that God would protect them from the evil of this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent them into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Now, he's praying for his apostles. He's praying for his disciples. I've given them the truth. Who did he give the truth to? Who did he especially teach? The apostles. Peter and James and John and Andrew and Matthew. My chiropractor friend asked me the other day, he said, you old Baptists, y'all don't have seminaries, do you? He said, y'all don't go to school to be taught to preach. I said, no. He said, well, why not? I said, well, did Jesus ever go to school to learn how to preach? He said, well, he didn't have to. He was God's son. I said, well, that's right, but he didn't go to school to preach the gospel. I said, well, the apostles didn't go to school to learn how to preach. He said, well, they didn't have to because they were the apostles. I said, that's right. They were the apostles. I said, well, Timothy didn't go to school to learn how to preach the gospel. I said, he was called of God. He said, well, he didn't have to because Paul taught him. I said, well, you come right down to it. None of men who are called must go to a seminary and learn how to preach the gospel. He says, well, you might have a point there. He finally admitted, I might have a point. I said, if God calls men to preach, do you not believe that he will qualify them to preach his word? If he gives them the gift, then he gave them the gift, and therefore they have the gift to preach. And if a man is called to preach, if he goes to one of them schools, they'll mess his mind up, and he'll know a whole lot less when he comes out on the other side. Because, you know, they've messed his mind up. They've taught him a lot of things that are not true. But when God calls a man, he calls him to preach the truth. He does not call men to preach error. He calls men to preach the truth, and every man that is called, it's his responsibility to preach the truth. Because the truth is important. The truth sets God's people free. He says, I sanctify them through the truth. The truth sanctifies God's people here in this world. What sets the old Baptist church apart from all the other religious world and the denominational world is the truth. The truth sets us apart from all other people. And God has multitudes of people out there. But the truth has set us apart. Sanctify them through the truth. I believe that we've been sanctified or set apart by the truth of the gospel that we have embraced and that we believe with all of our hearts. We're sanctified by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're sanctified. There's a specific sanctification care that God has set us apart by the truth that he's delivered unto us, blessed us to have, and blessed us to believe. And there's nobody on this earth like old Baptists. I've not found them yet. Somebody said yesterday, said, if this is not the church, I don't know where it is. And I said, there's not one if this is not it. There's not a church in this world, but the Bible specifically lays it down that the Lord has his church here in this world. And that church is identified by the truth that she holds to. God has deposited the truth in the church. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're built upon the truth. We uphold the truth. God has given us a banner because of the truth. We have a flag to wave because of truth. Nobody else in this world is like the church of Jesus Christ. That's how that I prize her. How do you prize her this morning? Is she the fairest among 10,000? Is she the lily among thorns? Is she the beauty of God's eye? Is she the apple of God's eye? Well, of course she is. And God loves his church. He's sanctified you with the truth. And he's prayed for you, the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago before he died for his people. He prayed for those that would believe on him through the word of the apostles. Through the word of the apostles, he says, neither pray for I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through whose word? Through the word of the apostles. You say, well, I've never heard the apostles. Certainly we haven't. But we hear their word because the word of God has been preserved. Now, there were many that heard directly the apostles preach. But that word has been preserved through the ages, and we hear the word of the apostles. And we believe on Jesus through their word. How do children of God believe on Jesus? Through their word. I didn't say how do people become children of God. It's not through their word. That's through the work of grace. But how do children of God believe on him? It's through their word. That's how that we believe. It's through the word of God, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed for us, didn't he? I pray for them that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, praying for the unity of those that believe on him through his word, through the word of the apostles, the word that has been handed down from generation to generation in the church of Jesus. That word is still being preached, and I guarantee you I can put a period after this. The word will be preached until Jesus comes again. He'll see to it that somebody's preaching his word. I know that it's the responsibility of God's men to preach the word. But if somebody doesn't do it, he'll raise up someone else to do it. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth. Who's he talking about? He's talking about people in the church. Because that's the only ones that has ever heard the truth and had the truth. He said, but the time shall come that they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And there's been a lot of things that have crept into the church in ages past and gone, and even now and will in the future, that that men begin to advocate things and people believe it. It's amazing that just because a man has a big name and he preaches, they think, that just because it's him that he's preaching the truth. And yet, well, when you weigh it by God's word, and that's what we must do, we must weigh it in the scriptures. We must weigh what a man says by the scriptures. If it's not thus saith the word of the Lord and rightly divided, then it is not to be received. And you know what? If he continues to preach that, he's not to be received. Somebody says, you're getting sort of hard, but that's what the Bible says. The New Testament, Paul told Timothy. He said, preach the word. And he gave commandment and he gave instructions for, if you know, after the first and second admonition, a heretic reject. You know, after a man's been labored with and everything, if he does not repent of what he's teaching, then
he is to be rejected. The truth sanctifies. He prays for the unity of the believers in the Word. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And then he says, I in them, his people, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know, the world who? Is he talking about everybody? That the world may know? What world is that? That the world may know that thou hast sent me. Well, in the first part of this, he said, I pray not for the world. He can't be talking about that world, can he? You see, the problem with a lot of people is they can't separate the worlds of the Bible. Just like some people can't separate the salvations of the Bible. He says, I pray that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Love the world. That's not everybody. That's not all the human family. Because in the very first part of this prayer, he says, I pray not for the world. Now, if he prayed not for a world, he wouldn't be praying that this world might know that God sent Jesus into this world. That thou hast loved them, loved this world, as thou hast loved me, loved this world. Not every human in the world, but the world that he's speaking of. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, what world is that? Somebody says, well, that means everybody. That embraces everybody. If that embraces everybody, every human being, then you can be well assured they'll all be there. But it doesn't embrace all humans. It embraces the family that God loved. The world. God so loved the world that he gave. This is the gift of God to the world. God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. This was the excellent love of God to the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth, it didn't say whosoever will. It says whosoever believeth, that is in possession of believing. You can mark it down that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ is already a child of God, already embraced in the love of God, already secure for heaven, already redeemed, already born of God, already his destiny is already fixed to be with God in glory and to be like Jesus. He says here that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, how long has God loved his Son? Did he ever begin to love his Son? Why, absolutely not. He's loved his Son from the eons of eternity. How long has he loved you? How long has he loved his people? He loved them as he loved his Son. He loved them from eternity. He loved you from eternity. Has he ever ceased to love his Son? No, he never ceased to love his Son. He never ceased in one second to love his Son. Even though he forsook his Son upon the cross, he didn't cease to love him. The reason that he forsook him is because his Son was bearing the sins of the family in his own soul. And in his own body he was suffering for our sins, and he bare the wrath of God. But God never ceased to love him. He loved his Son, but he loved his people as he loved his Son. Oh, that's amazing love. What wondrous love that God had for his people when we were sinking down beneath God's righteous frown. Christ laid aside his crown, and he took a crown of thorns upon his brow, and it was pressed upon him, and the blood ran from his hands and his feet and from his face. There was a blood sacrifice because of the love of God, because it was sacrificial love. God gave his only begotten Son. He didn't offer him to man He was offered to God, and God accepted that sacrifice. The beloved Lamb of God offered himself to God, and God said, "Son, I accept thy perfect offering, and my people are set free. My people are delivered from the depths of sin and from the depths of darkness, because thou hast borne all the debt and thou hast freed them." I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ did not die in vain. He didn't die not knowing who he was dying for. He did not die not knowing that if the fruits of his death would be effective. No, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And if he is satisfied, he's satisfied now. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will. And here's the climax. Here's the climax of this prayer. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, that's the climax. That's the ultimate of the family of God. That's the destiny of God's family. That to be where Jesus is the zenith of all the plan and purpose of God. That he will cultivate. That will be consummated in glory. I pray that they shall be with me where I am. Where's Jesus? Jesus is in glory. Where's Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. Where's Jesus? He is in paradise. And that's where that his people will be. That's where we're going to be one day. That they shall be with me where I am. We're going to be with him. In this old world in which we travel here, there's a lot of difficult paths, there's a lot of heartaches, and there's a lot of things that come in our path to disturb us. But over yonder there will be no disturbance, there will be no heartache, there will be no tears, there will be complete immortal felicity and happiness and joy, because we're going to be with him. Be with Jesus. Just think about it. Just meditate upon that. Be with Jesus. Be with the one whom you love. Be with the one who died for you and rose from the dead. Be with the one who's now in heaven waiting for that day in which he shall come in glory and with all of his holy angels. Be with him. Behold him. Not only be with him, that they be with me where I am, but that they may behold my glory. Oh, we're going to behold his glory. Behold his glory. You know, we're not able to see all of his glory now. We can't. But we're going to see all of his glory. All your questions will be answered in heaven. They'll never be answered here. Not all the questions you have. But over yonder, they'll all be answered. Somebody says, what are we going to be like? I don't know. But we're going to be known even as we are known. Somebody says, you think you'll know who you are? If I don't, I'm going to be disappointed. You'll know who you are. You'll know why you're there. You'll know who brought you there. You'll know who to praise. And you'll know a lot more than you know here. I'll tell you that. You'll know a whole lot more than you know right now. We'll behold his glory. David said, when I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. Awake with his likeness. Not only will we see him, but we're going to be like him. And we shall behold his glory, because we're going to be glorified. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. John chapter 3, his first letter. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I can't tell you what you shall be exactly. I can't tell you that. Nobody else can. If any man says, I can tell you, you can just put it down. He's lying, because John says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. What do we know? As some people say, you old Baptists, y'all don't know anything. We know more than they think we know. But we know this. We know that we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is. As he is. We're going to see God that we cannot see now. We can't see God now. Not with our natural eyes. But we're going to see him with our eyes. Somebody said, you really believe you're going to have eyes in heaven? I really do. What about those that never had eyes here in this world? They're going to have eyes over there. You really believe this body is going to be made perfect? Yes, I do. What about those that are not perfect now, are born into this world, deformed? They're going to have a perfect body over there. That same body is going to be made perfect. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is what keeps us going on, dear children. This is what keeps us pressing on here in this world, is that hope that tugs in our hearts, that hope that is the anchor of our soul, that's anchored within the veil where Jesus is. Jesus says, I pray, Father. You think the Father's answered that prayer and will answer that prayer? I do. I pray, Father, that they shall be with me. I'm gonna redeem them. I'm gonna die for them. I pray that they'll be with me where that I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You love me, God, my Father, before the world began, and you love these as you love me. I pray that they'll behold my glory. Oh, we'll behold his glory. We'll see him face to face. Jesus, see him, be with him, be like him, and ever be satisfied for an eternity. No time. No time in heaven. No light needed there, because he is the light. He's the light here as far as the spiritual, in the spiritual realm. But he'll be the light. Ah, can't you see now the saints of God from all ages, generations, races, and tongues marching into glory? Jesus, the captain, leading them into heaven and saying, Father, here they are. I am the children which thou hast given me. Can't you visualize the captain leading all of his saints into glory, glorified like him, saying, Father, I am the children which thou hast given me. They're here to behold my glory. There's not going to be up there anybody saying, Jesus, if I hadn't accepted you, I wouldn't be here. There's not going to be anybody up there, preacher, saying, now, if I hadn't preached to them Jesus, they wouldn't be here. No, he's the only one sitting on the throne. He's the only one that will get the glory. He's the only one that will be praised. This is the climax of the prayer. I pray, Father, that they will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You feel in your heart the Lord has done a work. Then I bid you, God, your Savior, bid you to take up your cross and follow him and live with his people here in this world, in the church. If you have that desire, we're going to give you the opportunity as we stand and sing.
199.
Number 199. 199.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Shout out sorrow and the woe. Precious name of
It is better farther on, because the perfect day is approaching. It's better farther on. Thank the Lord that He's been good to us today, and may the Lord be with you in this coming week and guide your footsteps and protect you and keep you is my prayer. Do we have any announcements we need to make before we dismiss, Brother Roy?
Well, then,
nice to meet
you.
Sure.
I've been wanting to get up here before this, but I just want to thank everybody from this church that supported me and helped me, the cards they sent. And I want to thank you for coming to see me while I was in the hospital. It's been rough, but I know I've got through it with the prayers of y'all. And I want to thank the church here for the cards and the letters, the money, most of all the prayers. I do love everybody here and have, you know, it's a blessing to be with you this morning. But I just want to thank everybody for everything that they did for you. Come and see me, get rid of me alive. I just hope the Lord continue to bless y'all. I do love you. Pray that God will hear you. I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Brother Roy. We're glad you're on the road to recovery, and thank the Lord for that. And we were blessed, and whatever anybody did for you is our blessing. Anything else before we're dismissed? Brother Woody, go ahead.
We appreciate all the guests for coming today. We love all of you. Want to come back anytime you can.
Anything else? We mentioned a few Sundays ago, and I keep mentioning this because our parking lot is going to need working on repaving on down the road, maybe a year or two, and we're trying to make up money in the treasury, so if you got an extra 100, just put it in there. I started to say a dollar, but that won't work. It probably will cost between $10,000 to $12,000, something like that. So if you have some extra, if you have something you want to give, just put it in the treasury.
Brother Dan, not tomorrow, but in the next several months, I'm going to be getting some estimates. I thought I'd wait till the fall of the year before we start getting some estimates.
Okay.
The economy right now is fairly busy. And so when the work kind of drops off a little bit, we might get a little better.
See if you can get somebody to do it cheap. Anything else before we dismiss? If nothing else, we'll look to the Lord and ask Brother MH if he would dismiss.
Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come out this morning to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for such a beautiful day. And thank you, Lord, for each person that's come out this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message that we've heard and for the blessings that we have received. We ask it be thy will to bless this church, bless each person here. Continue to bless this great nation of ours. Give our leaders the wisdom and knowledge that they stand in need of. Forgive us for our many sins and mistakes, and bless the sick and suffering. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen.
Amen.